How's it going, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of the RHAP MTV Reality Wrap Up. I actually had to write that down so I don't mess it up, because we have a very special guest who we'll get to in a minute. But first, I want to introduce my amazingly witty, beautiful co-host himself, Amon Adwin. Amon, how are you doing on this lovely Monday afternoon?
I mean, the lead-ins just get ever more so extravagant with each and every episode. And honestly, I don't even know what you're going to say about me next time, but I'm living for it. So thank you so much for that wonderful introduction. I am great. It is a beautiful Monday afternoon over here in Philadelphia. The sun is shining, and so my dopamine is through the roof. I'm great. And I'm so excited about the guest that we have today. I'm like freaking out.
Oh my God. Okay. So I want to just preface this real quick. The whole season, I feel like we've had our favorites. Like we have shit on a fair number of people, but there's one person I don't think we've in fairly. So I don't think we've said a negative thing about him. And he's joining us today. We are joined by the math rock star himself, someone who rocks a skirt better than 99.9 of people in America. The pure king of Are You the One season 8 that we don't deserve. Danny Prikaski. Danny, did I pronounce your last name right?
That was pretty good. Yeah. Ooh, Danny Prikaski.
Prikaski. Okay. Well, my last name is Bon Giovanni, so I hope you could, I feel bad whenever I, yes. Very, very Italian. So I feel like I feel for anyone who has a long last name that gets mispronounced. But Danny, thank you so much for joining us today. We absolutely adore you on, every week we say the nicest things about you, and we actually mean it. So it's even better.
Thank you so much.
No, of course, and you deserve it. So, Amon, do you have anything you want to say to Danny before we continue?
I mean, nothing other than what I've already been saying for the past, however many weeks. I've been, fanboying over Danny so hard that the listeners know it and everything. So it's just, it's like a dream come true to have him be a part of the show. And I'm just excited to delve into this. And I hope this is, a pretty fruitful and thoughtful discussion. So I'm excited. And thank you once again so much. I mean, I don't know how many times we're going to say thank you to you, Danny, but,
oh, my God,
thanks.
Stop it. Thank you.
Oh, no, of course. So, Danny, we forgot to ask, do you have headphones in? Just want to make sure.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, good.
I got two headphones on right now.
Oh, wow.
On earbuds, and then I've got headphones over to listen to y'all.
Oh, he's prepared.
Double bagging is always the way to go. So let's dive. We know that obviously the season hasn't ended yet, so we don't want just walk the line of potential spoilers. So we're going to touch on the season.
Ended yet?
Ooh. Are you still in Hawaii? Are you? Huh? Are you recording this from Hawaii, Terrence? Okay.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Okay. Well, that's fair. So let's start with young Danny. So Danny, what was it? Tell us a little about you. A little bit about you as a child. What were you like growing up?
I was a nerd, you know. I was super into playing video games. I had friends at school, but not friends that I would hang out with outside of school for the most part. My parents both worked full-time jobs. They were both high-powered executive types. And so I like to joke around that I was raised by a TV set and a Peruvian nanny.
Oh, that sounds like a nice couple.
Yeah, no, not bad. I mean, they got along pretty well.
That's sweet. I'm sure their sex life was great.
Oh, gross. That's my folks you're talking about.
Sorry about that. I don't mean to disrespect.
That's all right. Yeah, but so I don't know, played a lot of Nintendo games. I was an indoor kid. That's the way I like to identify now.
An indoor kid. That's interesting that you say that, because I'm thinking back on my own childhood, I definitely was a little bit more on the nerdier side, and I definitely spent a lot more time indoors than out. So I think that's an interesting way to put that.
Yeah, dude. One time I had a kid over, during fifth grade, I finally sort of realized if I wanted to hang out with folks outside of school, I could just invite them over to my house, and then they would come and cool. That's the whole thing. And I had him over and we were playing Mario Kart and shit. And then after a while, he's like, this is fun, but do you want to go outside? And I was like,
ew.
Why? why would I do that?
Nature, what's that?
I know. And then we went outside, and I had all this sports equipment in my garage. You know, we had a hockey goal and hockey sticks and stuff, and we hit a ball around, and I was like, why are we doing this? What is the point? And then I was like, yeah, no, I guess I don't need to invite kids over anymore. I'm doing video games.
Yeah, what a waste of time that was. We saw you. Well, we did see your sports skills. I don't want you to cut yourself short. We saw you catching that football. That was
you
really
saw me
impressive.
Catching that football after what they edited down to look like 6 tries.
How many tries was it actually?
I don't remember. And if I did remember, I'd probably be too embarrassed to say anyways.
Well, you caught it at the end of the day. So I think that's a win for everybody.
Sure did. I don't know if you saw the what we would probably call the fag football episode where we were throwing the football around a little bit in the backyard. And there were some good shots of me looking pretty athletic. But if you were there in person, everybody was laughing at me because I was just diving after people and like landing on the ground like a foot away from them. And everyone's like, Danny, what are you doing? And I'm like, believe me, when this comes out, I'm going to look so fly.
Also, Danny, you're amongst friends. Like, this is probably like my least favorite part of year is like the football season. Like me trying to like football is like me trying not to be black. It's just never going to happen. I've just always been just such an I've had such an aversion to football. So like, I feel your pain, but you did look good on the show. And that's all
thank
that
you.
Fucking
oh
matters.
God, so. Thank you so much. Yeah, you know what? Like, I don't hate football. I'll watch the Super Bowl and stuff. But now I feel like there's pretty good justification to not want to support it, given all the CTE stuff with the concussions and whatnot, you know?
Yeah, true. Very true.
Yeah, somebody retired the other day, Andrew Luck, and I think he was in the league he's like 29. He was in the league for like 6 years, and he said it was too mentally draining, and he's a quarterback, so he takes hits all the time. So at least you didn't get tackled by anyone, right? That was at least a positive.
Oh God. Yeah. And there were some, there were some trucks in that house who could have wrecked
Brandon
me.
Is huge.
Oh yeah. You know what's funny is Brandon and I, very different shaped people. About the same weight.
Wow. How tall is Brandon? Because you're probably, what, like 6'4", 6'5"?
I'm 6'6".
Wow, holy shit.
Whoa.
Gargantuan! Oh my God! Wow, so that must be like, I feel like, is the air different up there? I'm 5'8", so I struggle with even considering what that might be like. Is it just interesting being that tall? I know that might sound like a stupid question, but I'm so curious.
Yeah. I just get lightheaded a lot. I don't know if it's because of the rarefied atmosphere, but I guess it could be.
No, for sure. That's definitely what it, I'm sure it's definitely the rarefied atmosphere. So, okay. Probably. So now on the show, you're before you were on Are You the One, at some point in your life, you were a data scientist. Now I'm always interested what people did before they were on these reality shows. So tell us life of Danny, the data scientist.
Well, so I went into data science, because I guess, as y'all probably know, I had a bunch of plans with my ex having to do with buying a house and having a kids and all that. And we were both working very, very low paying jobs. I was working at a daycare for people with developmental disabilities, and she was working in a preschool. And we decided, like, yeah, you know, if we're going to pursue these goals, it would probably be a lot easier if one of us made decent money. Right. And her sister is a data scientist. And she had been encouraging me to sort of do the same thing that she had done. She started off as like a flavor chemist, and then transitioned careers by going to this boot camp. And she was like, yeah, Danny, you could absolutely do this. You should give it a shot. I guess she wanted to make sure her sister was taken care of. And so, yeah, after a little while, we decided I would go do this boot camp. And that's what I did. I taught myself how to program in Python. I learned a bunch of statistics. I got into the program. And then from there, I learned all the machine learning and whatnot that I needed to know in order to be a data scientist.
That's very interesting. So you mentioned that your sister's friend was, you said flavor. What was it that you mentioned?
God, what did I say? My girlfriend's sister?
Yes, sorry.
You said sister's friend. That's weird. Do you get a girlfriend and sister mixed up in your head
sometimes?
They're
like the same person for me, at least. I mean,
honestly, I'm not fucking around. It gets fucked up in my head, and I don't know what the source of that is.
Wow.
Yeah, but anyways.
That's a deeper dive podcast I feel like we could do for a few hours, see where that comes
from. I'm glad to know we're all in the same boat, though.
No, I honestly, like, I don't have a sister, but I have a girlfriend, and every single day I wonder, like, kind of remind me of my sister if I had one.
That's fun. That's cool.
No, it's not actually what happens. I hope people don't think I'm a psycho, but no, it's not what happens.
Yeah, we're all complete weirdos.
We're all
anyways,
fucked up. We are.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. She was a flavor chemist. What was the question?
Okay. So data science, I know very little to nothing about data scientists, but once you go to the boot camp and all of that, what sort of fields do you find yourself in as a data scientist? Like, what sort of data do you study?
Yeah, that's a good question. I guess data scientists could go into a lot of different fields, but I think that the field that has most embraced data science is tech, you know, into a startup or going into some already defined tech business that has. So here's what a data scientist does. They look at a pool of data and they figure out what you can learn from it. That's the basis. And that's what a data analyst would do. You look at a data, it's noisy, it's messy, it's a bunch of numbers, it's hard to understand what it means. And then you sort of like learn from it. You figure out, oh, okay, well, if we look at the average of this figure and we compare it to this other figure, it looks like this population is maybe more likely to click on our link or buy our product than this other population, right?
Yeah.
Right. And then from there, where a data scientist is sort of like a more prestigious position than a data analyst, is that a data scientist builds machine learning models. And what machine learning models do is they look at data, they learn from it, they create predictions.
Okay.
They guess like, okay, based on, let's say, housing data, these houses are in this neighborhood, they have this much square footage, et cetera. They have all this data on these houses. We're going to learn like what those different features of the data mean about like the price of these houses. So if you look at Zillow, they always have predictions for houses that aren't on the market of like what those houses' value would be. And they do that with machine learning algorithms by saying like, okay, houses that are similar to this one, like they have the same square footage in a similar neighborhood, were sold for a certain amount last time they were sold, would be about this much. So this is the guess we're going to make for this new house.
Oh, wow.
So I can imagine that something like this, I mean, right? Like, listen, that was a lot. Very impressive. But I can imagine that something like this probably was of interest to casting producers when they're trying to put together this cast, you know, someone whose livelihood is based off of, you know, studying predictability and probability and how that, you know, relates to humans in the way that they engage with technology or other humans. So was this a big talking point for you whenever you were going through the casting process?
Yeah, we would chit chat about it. They'd be like, so what, are you too smart for this show? Like, are you just going to figure it out in the first week? And I was like, no, it's a tough show. You guys have a really tough show and I'm not going to be able to figure it out, even though I'm so smart, you know, because this show is just so tough, you know, and then you rub the egos a little bit and that goes a long way.
Yep. So if we ever want to get reality TV, it's pretty much just rubbing the egos of the casting producer.
Rubbing the egos, rubbing other things. Just kidding.
Yeah, rubbing whatever you got to rub. You know, rubs will happen as you go. So we're getting on the season a little bit. Now, going into Are You the One, were you familiar with the show prior to being a cast member?
Okay. So I was passingly familiar. And actually, I had heard about it through my ex because she said that her sister had like solved one of the seasons after just a few weeks by putting everything into like a special number crunching algorithm. And I don't know how much I buy that anymore now that like I have both become a data scientist and been on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are algorithms that are good at figuring out like who the matches would be. But like, best case scenario, like the best algorithm I've seen for like a straight season figures it out around week 7 or 8.
Wow.
So this like, you don't think that your ex's friend actually solved the thing? Like we're getting it here exclusively on this podcast that you were doubtful of her abilities.
I'm just saying maybe some of the facts got miscommunicated along the way.
I mean, I have to imagine that for this season in particular, it's probably a lot harder trying to come up with an algorithm to solve for all the, you know, seemingly endless possible pairs for this season. But you're a part of season six of a season of 16 sexually fluid individuals. So I guess like our next question would be like, when in life did you find out that you, you know, when did you discover that you had a thing for both things, as it were?
Yeah, well, so I'd say that I grew up in a really liberal place. I grew up in Northern California.
Okay.
And so it's super progressive. I feel very privileged to have grown up there because it felt like, you know, I could be whoever I wanted to be and like I could live the way I wanted to live without having to worry about judgment. But at the same time, I didn't really start to realize that I wasn't straight until around high school. And that's like when I started having like a few crushes here and there on guys, right. You know, like not as often as I had crushes on girls, but I'd be like, well, that guy. Yeah. Okay. Something's happening here.
So that's actually interesting because a lot of people, I mean, I guess it's different for everyone. Everyone's journey is different, but
for sure.
It's interesting that it's seemingly a little bit later in life for you. I mean, at least for me, I know I was starting to like realize that something was going on downstairs, like maybe like sixth grade. I was like, oh, wow.
Really?
Like, this is, yeah, it was kind of overwhelming and sort of like, I mean, cause you hear, you know, kids are cruel. They can be very cruel. And you hear all sorts of like horrible things and, all these stereotypes and, you know, don't even get us started on like the whole religious aspect of it all.
Right. Yeah.
But, it's, that's interesting. Do you feel like because of the fact that you sort of like figured it out a little bit later in life, that, as well as the fact that you were already in a position where you're surrounded by more progressive than not people, do you feel like that emboldened you to sort of like not be as ashamed of it or be more willing to explore it? Or did you think that you were still a little bit apprehensive in the beginning?
I was still pretty apprehensive. And I didn't really start exploring it until college. But yeah, you know, I didn't like, it's weird because I was pretty interested in sex from a pretty early age, but I didn't start like masturbating or like watching porn or anything like that until I was like 13.
Yeah, so, I feel like that's a common age. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Good. Good. I'm normal. So like, I don't know. I feel like I wasn't like exploring the things that aroused me until about that age. You know, I would talk about like, oh, yeah, I want to have sex with Britney Spears because she's a hot babe.
I was
like on the elementary school playground. But like, I don't know how much I was really like thinking about like what turned me on. And, you know, what's funny is I feel like I figured out that I wasn't straight in like high school. But I think that if I were going to trace back like the origins of my like interest in different gender expressions, I could go back significantly earlier. Have y'all ever
yes.
heard of the website FML?
Oh my god, blast
fuck my life.
Yes.
Okay, so I used. Oh man, I used to love that shit. I used to like lie in bed at night when I couldn't fall asleep reading those, and I'd be like, well. You know, I might be like an insomniac and I might be depressed or whatever, but it's nice to like look at these people who are like suffering more. But there was one that I saw where this woman had posted like, so today my son said, hey, what does it mean when my wiener gets hard like a stick? And the mom's like, well, when does that happen? And
I feel like I remember this one.
Yeah, right. Isn't it good? And he was like, well, sometimes in Scooby-Doo, when like Shaggy comes out wearing a dress.
Yes.
And I was like, bro, that's me. Like in elementary school, there was this one day where I was like just daydreaming and I was imagining I was a Batman and I was like fighting the Joker, but the Joker had this special like ray gun that turned people from one gender into another gender and he turned me into Batwoman. I was like, whoa, what's going on with my wiener right now? Like, I think I need to go to the bathroom. And it was like, yeah, from early on, it was like, I find like feminine gender expression really sexy and cool. And that as well didn't explore much until I got to college.
And okay, so when you say Okay, when you find that sexy, do you mean in yourself or in someone else or both? I know obviously we see on the show in yourself, both. But I'm curious as to if you see someone else expressing themselves in that way, does that also kind of get you excited? Okay.
Yeah, I'd say both.
I'm so curious. And like, yeah. Also when you mentioned the first boner story, I vividly have this awful memory of asking my mom when I was like in fifth or sixth grade why my penis was hard. Uh-huh. And she like did not want to go into detail. And she was like, oh, that happens. And like, that was it. And I was so confused why in history class sitting there talking about some 17th century something, I was getting a boner.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God. It was.
That's
it was
so
very
wild. Yeah. I got the sex talk pretty early. And
how old?
Yeah,
it was pretty weird
to say that. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to say second grade for me. My sister's a year and a half older than me, and we got it at the same time because when I was a kid, my folks watched Will and Grace, and they would let us watch with them. And so apparently I was at school talking to kids about like what lesbians were. And the teachers called my parents and were like, hey, your son is going around the schoolyard telling kids what lesbians are. And my mom was like, well, what did he tell them? And the teachers were like, well, that lesbians are women who have sex with other women. And my mom was like, okay, so he got it right then. And my mom was like, well, did you ask him what sex was? And the teacher's like, no, of course not. And so that was the night that my sister and I got the talk. And my mom sat us both down and she's like, what's sex? And we were like, cool, gosh. And I was like, it's when a man and a woman. And she's like, okay. They get naked. And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, and they hug and they kiss. And she's like, mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh shit, that's not it. And my dad insists to this day that he thought that I knew, but I did not. And I was like, I said they hug, and they're under the covers. And she's like, yeah, okay. And I'm like, and they hug? And she's like, sex is when a man puts his penis inside of a woman's vagina and pees. And like and my sister and I started losing our fucking minds, and my dad was like, well, that's not and she's like, no, this is what they'll understand. That gave me some more sexual deviance. I had a number of fantasies where like I was a very, very rich man and I could afford to just have all these women around my home, and I'd be like, excuse me, you, I need to urinate. Come here, we're going to have sex. That was a good moment for me. You guys have pretty fucked up sex talk stories or?
Amon, you got to go first because I feel like we've never even talked about this with each other. I feel like we've talked about a lot of fucked up shit. So, Amon, you wanna talk about your first time learning about what sex was?
I can't like remember distinctly the conversation. I just remember that it happened pretty early on, and I remember my mom was very, very like adamant about us like not, you know, falling victim to any like misinformation or stereotypes that aren't necessarily true. And I remember like during fifth grade where she had like all the parents had to sign this little waiver that we could attend this little seminar with this woman who wasn't a teacher from the school. It was like an outside company. They all came in and pretty much like gave us like the rundown of what sex was and all of that stuff and sexual health and
where did you grow up? Where'd you get your sex education?
I grew up in Pittsburgh. And so I remember we had the talk, and I remember we got home from school that day, and this was like after, because my parents had already had the talk with us, and so we just had the secondary talk with this other person. Mm-hmm. I remember we got back, and she was like, because I have a twin sister, her name is Imani, and my mom was like, okay, so Imani, like, what is sex? And she was like, oh, so it's when a man and a woman lie down, and my mom cuts her off. Like, you don't have to be lying down to have sex. You can have sex standing up. You can have sex kneeling. God. You can have sex. It was just like, so my mom has always been very, very like forthcoming about a lot of things. So like sexual awesome. Conversations have always been sort of like, you know, whatever, like I kind of know all of this anyway.
That's good though. Yeah, that's really cool. I feel like my mom and me now, as I'm 26, I'm way more open with her. Like, if there's a situation or, like, I could talk to her about whatever. But when I first learned about what sex was, there is zero chance she was upfront about it. I remember watching the movie, I think it was, like, Scary Movie 3. And the guy held up a hot dog and a donut. And I would have been like fifth, sixth grade and I was still clueless. And he did the penis and the vagina. And I remember like it all clicking in my head in this one moment. Like, that's a penis. That's a hole. Like, I'm going to have to one day. And I got so nauseous because I didn't know what a vagina entailed. And it just made me feel sick. And I remember being like, oh my God, like, what am I going to do? I don't know what to do. And I'll never forget watching that. And then later I approached my mom and we talked about it. And then she actually brought a hooker over and I had to have sex in sixth grade. It was super awkward. It was an awful experience. She's breasted. But anyway, that's a joke for the FBI listening. Anyway, so back to Are You the One? So you said you kind of knew a little bit about the show. Did you try out? Did you get recruited? Like, how did they find Danny for Are You the One?
So I've got a kind of weird story about it. I was in Hollywood. And I was hanging out with some friends at this speakeasy called Good Times at Davy Wayne's. And I was waiting outside while another friend was in the bathroom. And these two women came up to me and they were like, hey, would you ever consider being on a show like The Bachelor? And I was like, stop. Oh, my God. You flatter me. And they were casting producers for The Bachelorette. And they took my information, they asked me a few questions, and then they sent me an application via email. And so I filled that out and I went through a couple rounds of interviews with them. And they decided to pass. But then from there, I was like, okay, you know, maybe I could do this. And I had so funny story. My ex's family loved me. And when we broke up, I think that it was hard on my ex's mom, but she, you know, still cared about me and wanted to see me do well. She heard I was moving down to LA, so she introduced me to this girl who grew up where my ex grew up, who was in LA. And we got together before I moved down, had coffee and stuff. And this girl was encouraging me to like go after reality stuff. She's like, oh, you would be great on reality TV. She watched The Bachelor. All of my ex's family watched like The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. And so I was like, yeah, dude, I should absolutely get on The Bachelorette and like have my ex's family see me doing fine.
Yes.
Right. And then so I applied for another show. I don't think that one got made, but I went through a couple rounds of interviews and they passed my information along to Are You the One? And I think because they knew I was bisexual, like that was a good tip off that I might be good for the season. And then I made it through.
Oh, so it's just sort of like it wasn't even like you didn't even plan for this to happen. It's sort of just like all coalesced into this grand opportunity to be on this landmark season.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Did you see how much of the show had you seen prior to it? Did you watch any of the episodes or was this kind of like going into this season as a contestant? It was like the most you'd ever had any Are You the One in your life?
Okay, so when I was going through the application process, I watched like the first episode of season 7. And I was like, holy shit. What am I doing? Like, what if I got on this show? That would be terrible. And then like, I just said, okay, we'll see how things go. And then they were like, oh, you're a semifinalist, you know, things are looking good. And then they were like, yeah, you know, you're going to be on the show. And so I went back and watched every single episode of every season of the show. Because I wanted to have all the information I could. I wanted to, you know, I wanted to win. And so I studied up and I psyched myself up for it. You know, I talked to friends and they encouraged me and they're like, you know, reality TV is a wild, wild world. And, you know, people can wind up looking really bad. But my friends all encouraged me and they were like, yeah, you know, I mean, they can only show what you say, though. So like as long as you're a cool person, which you are, like you'll be OK. Yeah.
And, I mean, I would agree. I mean, I feel like out of all of the characters that they threw into that house with you, I feel like yours is, you know, I mean, not to say that any of them are horrible people. I don't mean that at all. I mean, just, but I think that, you know, I feel like someone like you really have little to nothing to worry about just because of how the way that you carry yourself on the show. I wouldn't have had many reservations for you as your friend either. I would have encouraged that because it was great to see you on the show.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, you know, I think that I honestly kind of think if it hadn't been this season with the, you know, twist that this season had, I don't know if I would have made it on. I had to talk to a psychologist. Whenever anybody's going to be on a reality show, they have to talk to a psychologist to make sure they're not batshit crazy and they're not going to like burn the house down or something. Mm-hmm. And the psychologist told me, like, you know, you're probably a little on the normal side for a show.
You're
like
too
this.
Normal to be here. Are you sure you know you're going on Are You the One?
Yeah.
Right. That's good. Well, that's interesting though that you say that, because I feel like a lot of people usually in the reality TV world will say, like, you're not crazy enough to be on this show. And I was always like, I would hope that they are trying to cast people that are more on the sane side of things. But I guess for a show like Are You the One, they do want their fiery personalities and people that are a little bit more, you know, a little unhinged.
I mean, you know, they're I think like sort of two models for a reality TV show. You know, there's like a documentary style, which I guess The Hills would fall under, and like Little Women, is that one?
Yeah, I think that's the one with the little people, like Atlanta or something like that.
Right.
Oh,
right,
with Miss Honey or whatever her name is.
Yeah. And those, I think, get like a lot of intervention from production, where the production team will be like, okay, how can we manufacture a situation where like crazy stuff is going to happen? And a reality dating show follows more of a model of like a social experiment.
Right.
And so I think that that's cool. It means that there's like a lot less intervention from the production team. They're not like saying, hey, you say this now and you do this and now you're going to go do that. They just put a bunch of people together and they sort of like, based on the casting process, guess how they think things are going to turn out. You know, they want to put people together who are going to interact in interesting and maybe explosive ways.
That's the thing I kind of like always think about with a show like this, because obviously we're not going to go into detail how long you're actually there for and in the weeks and all that kind of stuff. But do you notice as like the weeks go by and people start to let loose of that kind of like I'm on TV type personality, or like in the beginning, if they're putting on and wanting to be perceived a certain way, and then after a little while, everyone's just kind of being themselves and acting naturally?
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I think it's kind of like summer camp, you know, it's like, it's kind of funny. Like, I don't know if y'all have ever been to summer camp, but whenever I went to summer camp, they're like, yeah, you know, this is an opportunity to just be whoever you want to be. Like, you don't have to be the you that you are every day at school. You know, nobody knows you here, so you can just be whoever you want to be. But honestly,
yeah,
that's so hard. You know, it's so hard to be somebody besides yourself. And like, I often like think about who I am and who I want to be and like how I can change myself and be more of the person who I want to be. It's tough to do sometimes. Sometimes I'm like, oh yeah, you know what? I want to be more like active and engaging in social situations, which I'm okay. But like, sometimes I'm like, I want to be the life of the party, this next party I go to. And it's like, that takes a lot of energy, you know?
Yes.
And so going into the first few days, everybody wants to be the best version of themselves. Everybody wants to be entertaining and interesting and attractive to a mate. But but like after a while, you get done, you get exhausted, you get tired, and then everybody is just who they are.
That's encouraging, though, because I mean, I think something that Adam and I have been speaking to about this season so much is the authenticity that we see and just how, I mean, because a lot of you have already had to do so much work on yourselves and in the relationships that you've had with other people, you know, because of the fact that, you know, as accepting and as progressive of an era that we are still in, people are still very much persecuted for who they are and who they choose to sleep with. So a lot of you have already had to, you know, overcome a lot of those battles. So it's nice to see, you know, that there's a certain, you know, social consciousness that all of you seem to possess, and as well as on top of all of the, you know, the just, you know, being who you are and learning how to accept yourself, because I mean, you just want everybody else to. So that's very encouraging. It's like cool to know that, you know, when you guys are in there finding a perfect match, sure, maybe somebody is, you know, hyping up to the cameras a bit here and there in the first couple of weeks, but after a while you're just sort of like, now play the game, now like figure out who your perfect match is and like search for a connection. So that's
for
great.
Sure. You know, and I think that that's totally true, that like we have sort of developed social consciousnesses because we have to deal with the issues in our personal lives. And I don't know if everybody on the show this season had like a super developed social consciousness, but I think that enough people did that it set a tone where like we were all very concerned with like mental and social health and like speaking to each other in like like ways that weren't overly and unnecessarily aggressive, and like being good communicators and healthy communicators. And like people fell short for sure, but like
yes they did.
But like we always wanted to be, I don't know, woke, I guess.
That makes sense though. Like I feel like on a season like this, the last thing you want to do is be like the offensive person who's going to say something stupid that everyone's going to remember. So let's we have about 20 minutes left, so I want to kind of get into like maybe that stay on the in the house. So you walk in, or I don't remember exactly which order when you came in. But
I think I was one of the last people in, actually.
I think so too.
I was going to say that as well. I remember like Basit being in the beginning, and then I think maybe Kari was in the beginning, but you're
Kari.
Yeah,
who's Kari?
Am I saying her name wrong? Is Kari? Yeah. Is Kari?
It's Kari.
Holy shit, Aman!
That's so
Aman,
funny.
Have you been saying Kari too, or is that just me?
Honestly, I feel like I don't even say her name a lot during the podcast, to be honest.
Yeah, it's so fucked up.
Because
oh my god,
the
I feel
edit
terrible.
Doesn't give her her just due, but oh, it's man. Kari. We love you.
That's funny. Yeah,
Kari Underwood. Kari got it. Okay,
but thank you for calling us out on that, Danny. Because some people might have just let us, you know, just be out here making mistakes.
Thanks a lot, Donnie. Okay,
it's Kari. It's Kari, short for carousel.
Yeah, I did. I think because I saw the cast, I should have realized carousel, Kari. You know, obviously common name. Okay. Anyway, so
No. Before you go on, I want to keep talking about it, not to rub your nose in it, but like actually, a lot of people, a lot of production staff, kept accidentally calling her Kari, and I'm sort of just wondering what it is like.
I'm trying. Maybe it's because I feel like, you know, because Kylie is so similar for some reason.
Oh,
I feel like whenever I say Kari, I said Kari and Kylie. I remember saying all the time when those that was the big topic. Okay.
And there's a Kai in the cast.
Yes, Kai. It's all crazy. So first day in the house, who do you see is like, oh, I want to get to know them better?
I was definitely immediately very attracted to Paige because I'm like a hipster file. And, you know, she had that like pixie haircut and had the like high fashion neck and all that.
High fashion neck. I love that.
So that was it. And then I talked to her and it was very, very clearly not a connection. Love her to death. But I think that she was pretty quick to tell me, like, I don't know, maybe not. Turns out she wanted somebody to swim a moat and scale some walls, and I don't know if I was ready to do that.
Do you think that were most people in the house like that in the beginning, where they were like kind of like quick to be like, yeah, this you're not my match, like
walls up? I don't know. I think that
because I feel like in the edit of the show, like, I feel like we don't really see a lot of that happening. I feel like on the show, like, they probably focus on maybe two potential matches, and that's all we kind of see. We don't really get to see any of the nuanced conversations that happen amongst the rest of the personalities, especially if they're not as rambunctious. So I always do wonder, like, what is a day-to-day conversation when you're trying to find your match, like at 8 o'clock in the morning and you're having your coffee or whatever? Like, do you just like sit down and be like, I think you're my match, let's talk about this, and then you just kind of just like cycle through everybody? Or is it sort of like an organic, like, you know, you all just mill around and, you know, let the things lay where they lay?
Well, the first was definitely more my approach. I'm a very inorganic person. I just like, I don't know. Maybe it's my left brainedness, but I'm like, I I think that you are probably my match. Let's have a conversation about this. Or like, hey, I'm interested in having intercourse with you. How do you feel about this? And I think that that wasn't something that played super well for me in the house. I think that more people wanted to go about it a bit more organically and like feel things out and like play games, basically.
Right.
But like, yeah, I don't know. And that's not crazy. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, that's romance. That's mystery. That's all this cool stuff that I don't really have a lot of affection for.
And I think that happens with shows like this because they throw all these people in a house together, right? And you really don't know how different someone is going to be from you. Or you might be in a house with a bunch of people and you're like, I really have no connection with any of these people outside of a level, you know? So it's as much as, and we always say this, and I don't want to take away from the matchmaking process, but they're casting people for a TV show. They're not casting people to with the number one goal being to find love. And that's just my opinion. I don't like, you've been on it, you know more than me, but that's just kind of how I feel. Mm-hmm. Now, do you think it's, and of course we've seen people find love on the show, but going into the whole process of Are You the One, did you believe like, okay, like this is a place where I'm going to find love, or it's even possible for me to find love?
I definitely came into it thinking it was possible. I didn't necessarily come into it thinking it was very likely, you know, like I said, you know, I went back and I watched every episode of the show because like, I didn't want to go into it naive. I didn't want to go into it not knowing what to expect. And so if I wanted to go into it knowing what to expect, it meant like I had to realize, hey, maybe two or three couples from this show are still together, you know? So I was like, it's possible I could find love. That could be awesome, but maybe that's not going to happen. And so I think I had to have some different goals in mind. You know, obviously I wanted to win, but I also like a big thing for me, like my stated intention that I was putting out there for the universe to hear was I wanted to like become a better person. I wanted to be a better partner for the next person I would be in a relationship with, whether it was somebody in the house or somebody afterwards, you know?
See, this is why I'm such a fan. I just love that. Was there anybody that you were positive wasn't your match, like in the first couple of days? Like, was there somebody that you were like, oh, bitch, you don't know?
Yeah, there were a few people. I mean, Noor, I was pretty positive, was not my match. And in fact, like I sat down with Noor day one and I was like, hey, don't take this the wrong way. But I think that like if we're not very careful, it would probably be easy for us to get on each other's nerves hardcore. So like, let's be considerate of one another and like, let's realize that we're very different people and let's just try to be cool. And we were, and I like her a lot. Not my match at all.
And we saw you during the big fight with Jasmine. Like, I feel like you the one consoling Noor, kind of trying to calm her down a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I you know, Noor's a sweetheart. Noor goes off. And Noor, I think, has temper problems. and I these are things that I would say to her. I'd be like, baby, I love you. I think that you have temper problems. and I think that sometimes she gets pretty irrational about those things. Like she just loses sense of like what's going on because all she sees and feels are her emotions about it.
Right.
But at the same time, like we had some really nice times together. Like we dicked around with the football a little bit more, throwing it and running around, and she's a really sweet girl and I love her a lot.
This is a question that I don't, and you don't have to answer, but it's not on the, in what I sent you originally, but was there any hookups with you and someone else that we weren't shown or anyone else you want to let us know about? Because I feel like we're trying to get the upper edge here on the Are the One podcast. So we want some hot tea.
Have you heard anything?
I haven't. Amon, have you?
I have not. I have not heard anything.
No. So really? We're out of the loop.
There have been some rumors on the internets, as a wise man once said, that man being George W. Bush, not wise. Never mind. I was making a very topical joke for the early 2000s. Yeah, I hooked up with Remy the first night.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I love that. I love everything about that. That is amazing.
Exclusive tea. Okay. Ooh.
I don't mind saying it. I kind of already spilled this a little bit ago when I was streaming on Twitch. I haven't gotten in trouble yet.
You won't get in trouble.
Yeah, it's like
think.
they didn't show it. It was the very first night. I guess didn't quite like fit into the episode. There was a lot going on.
Oh, it fit. Oh, it fit all right.
Oh,
it
something fit.
Oh, I'm so happy that you see this is Amon. See, this is all I was hoping for, you know. get Danny on the podcast, we could talk about Ari, and then we get some of the exclusive information that everyone outside of Danny's Twitch audience doesn't know, but still I'll take it.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you. Yes, what a time. So now okay, so I feel like we've talked a lot about Ari the One, and we have what, there's like two-part season finale coming up next Monday, a week from today.
There's a new episode coming up a week from today. What did you ask?
I heard it was the finale. Am I wrong here?
I think there's two more episodes. So the one a week from today and then the one after that.
Oh, I thought it was like a two-parter. Wow, I'm way off. What a kind of fucking host am I?
You know what? I've honestly also heard sort of conflicting information. I'm not totally sure what's going on.
The VMAs just fucked it all up.
I know.
Yeah, the VMAs definitely did. Something I do know is that the LA folks, me, Max, Kai, Jenna, and Amber are planning on having a viewing party at Beaches in West Hollywood on September 9th. So hopefully there's going to be an episode there. We're planning on it anyways.
All right. Well, I mean, if anybody are fans of the show and live in LA, you just heard viewing party at Beaches.
Come through.
Come on down.
Sounds fun. I feel like you'll probably, it's like a little dose of the house in person.
Yeah.
All right. We got, now this is a really hard hitting question I've been waiting to ask. And Amon, you have to answer and I will answer as well. We're going to do Fuck, Marry, Kill with the Jonas Brothers. And how you answer this, both of you, I'm going to judge you both extremely hard on it, because it's a very important question that everyone should be asked.
Yeah. So I remember you letting me know that we were going to talk about this. Yeah. And I remember thinking I should do some research on the Jonas Brothers.
Perfect.
And figure out fucking anything about them. So there's Nick, Joe, and Kevin.
Yes, you got it. Perfect.
Yes.
Just going on names alone, fuck Nick, marry Kevin, kill Joe.
That sounds like pretty spot on. Amon.
Oh, so I mean, I have to always get Joe and Kevin mixed up.
Kevin's the older, kind of more gangly looking one.
One of them's with Sophie
Kevin's
Turner.
The one that is like found like his wife a long time ago and like lives in New Jersey.
He's like the dad. Yeah, he's like the dad.
Okay, gotcha. Okay,
okay, good.
Well, then I would have to marry Joe, fuck Nick.
Oh, come on.
And kill Kevin.
This is he.
I'm sorry about it. I just feel okay. Like, first of all, I just feel like Joe has just such a more dreamier face than Nick does. I know there's a bunch of Nick stands out there. I get it. He's, you know, who's the youngest. He's the baby. I get it. It doesn't do anything for me. I need a man.
I don't
not
fuck babies.
A boy. Exactly. Exactly.
That's good, I guess. I guess that, yeah, fucking would not sit well.
Not my brand.
So here's, yeah, it's definitely off brand. But here's my take on it. So Kevin is like the more like lesser known, like not as attractive one. He has a lot more to prove. Balls deep in Kevin.
Oh, okay.
Because he has a lot more to prove. Nick, there's that Priyanka Chopra 30 minutes or like 20 minutes when he wakes up every morning. That's fucking stupid. He's dead. Like, he makes her sit there as he watches her. I think that's ridiculous.
I mean, she's beautiful.
Is that real?
Yeah, but I don't. Yeah, that's a real thing.
That's kinda, kind of gross.
I think that's terrible. Like, imagine like somebody being like, I'm going to watch you for 15 minutes before you can get ready. I'd be like, no, let me go have my coffee. So no, he's dead. And I'm going to marry Joe out of process of elimination. So you both like, Amon, I'm a little disappointed in yours. Danny, you passed without having much information on the Joe Bros.
Sweet.
But I'm glad we covered a really hard hitting topic.
I have to inspect the logic behind like having sex with Kevin, though, because like you say that he's not as famous. He's got more to prove. I feel like if he felt like he had something to prove, wouldn't he have proven it by now?
I guess that's a good point. But he's been like with the same girl for like 10 years. Like he was so my girlfriend is a very, very big Jonas Brothers fan. So I'm like, now I'm like really like I understand everything.
Okay.
So I watched this documentary on them. And apparently Kevin is like, was really sad when they like did their own thing for a bit. So I feel like he's like, and he was like sad that he was like the forgotten Jonas in a way. So I feel like as much as he hasn't proven it, I feel like there's still time, you know?
You think that like as much as he enjoys and loves his relationship, I'm sure it's shackles that are keeping him from realizing his true potential.
Like he's a verse bottom. I could see it.
Okay, sweet.
Which also, for the record, I learned what Amon was a verse top for the first time this season.
So Adam has been completely enamored and just enthralled with the gay terminology behind, you know, verse and tops and all that stuff. And so he's found a way to finagle any old kind of term into each and every episode of the podcast.
Did you explain to him what the verse power weasels are?
No, but can you explain what a verse power weasel is, please?
I want to know. I want to know
it.
Now.
I made it up. Why didn't you go along with it? Honestly.
I'm so sorry. I thought that I was missing out on something, and I was like, oh my God, I need to figure this out right now.
Amon, your gay card is revoked.
We got to keep fucking with the straights, those heteros.
I know. Oh my God. I always feel like the boring straight guy in the room. Like, I'm white and straight. It's like the most boring.
Honestly,
I'm super disappointed.
I honestly feel like the boring straight guy a lot, too. I had to have a lot explained to me in the Are You the One house. I didn't know what boots meant.
I still don't know what boots meant.
Yeah, well, I have a vague understanding. It's something that you exclaim when something is good. It's like, oh yeah, Dr. Ooh. Frankie got big smile boots.
Oh, that's okay. So we shit on Dr. Frankie all season, probably for no reason. We like, she's it's the most pointless part of the show. Mm. Like, we have literally taken, and I feel really bad kind of about it, but not really. Because like we're getting paid $0 to podcast about Are You the One? So I feel like at the end of the day, like, we got to find stuff. So we just think that it's the most pointless segment. Like, everything we get from that segment is kind of, we already know. So was it helpful to have Dr. Frankie in the house as someone who experienced
it
firsthand?
It was definitely helpful to have Dr. Frankie in the house. But I think that like the network sort of didn't know what they wanted to do with Dr. Frankie. And I think that it was really useful just to have sort of like an arbitrator, you know, someone to be like, hey, you shut up. Hey, you two talk, like be adults. Like Max and Justin had some like big serious beef early on where it seemed like they were ready to punch each other in the face. And after the Dr. Frankie session, that's where there was a scene where Max was like, okay, hey, I'm ready to talk like an adult. And it was because Dr. Frankie was like, maybe you two should work it out, try to be like calm and have a rational conversation. And like, it was really helpful to have her there. But like, it seemed like they were maybe going to try to push this idea of like Dr. Frankie being there to help us find our perfect matches. And like, that didn't really feel like what she was helping us with, but I found her to be super helpful there. And we talked to Dr. Frankie every week, like the day of the matchup, we would have a Dr. Frankie session. And she hasn't made it into every episode. So I guess like MTV just didn't really make up their mind on what they wanted with Dr. Frankie.
See, that seems so, like, that's something that's substantive, something that you can, like, that really gives a bit of, like, a therapeutic nature to the show that I feel like, I mean, we get it sometimes with some of the Dr. Frankie segments, but a lot of the time it's, like, watered down. And obviously it's an edit. Obviously you can't fit everything into 45 minutes of television. So I'm sure that there are lots of really beneficial conversations that happen when she's there. I just wish that we would have seen more of that, because that's awesome to have somebody in the house that is sort of like a third party, is able to, you know, see things from an overarching view and sort of, you know, be someone to be a, like a middleman or mediator.
Mediator
a bunch of people trying to find love in a house. So that's great. I'm glad that she was doing something for y'all. She's not really doing nothing for us, but that's okay. That's more of like an MTV thing than it is anything else. So
So Danny, thank you so much for joining us. This was so fun. Really excited to see how things play out and who your perfect match is. But we just appreciate you coming on and spending this hour with us.
Oh, thank you. I had a great time.
Yes, thank you so much for coming on. Like, we've been like we've been rooting for you from like day one and trying to see who your perfect match is. Where like a lot of people are thinking that it's Kai. Obviously, you cannot confirm nor deny. I'm really hoping that it is not Kai, because Kai needs.
I think it's Kai.
If it is Kai, I'm going to be upset for you. But you know, it is what it is. I think Kai is great in his own right. He has a lot of things going for him. I just don't think Danny should be one of them.
Ooh,
yeah,
okay.
You know, Kai's funny. He's the life of the party. He's very attractive, and I find all that stuff very sexy.
There we go. Right, so well, I guess we'll have to wait and see if comes to fruition.
I was quoting myself from the first matchup ceremony.
I honestly hearing you say this like, sexy in my earphones right now, like I feel like I've heard that on the show a few times. So it's some kind of weird like playback in my head. It really fucked me up.
That's where he very awkwardly says, "Thank you."
Yes.
Oh my god, we did talk about on that for the record. We were not happy with that response. I hope that was the edit. But Danny Prokosky, did I get it this time?
I say Prokosky.
Prokosky, okay, Prokosky. So it's more like that ASCII. You got it. It's like Minnesota.
Yeah, my family's from upstate New York, so they talk like that.
Okay, so I'm from Jersey. Amon's from Philly, or lives in Philly. So we're all same area. That's cool. Nice. Danny, where can people find you on social media?
I am at Danny Prokaz, DannyPrikaz, and that's me. That's me on Instagram. That's me on Twitter. That's me on Twitch. If you go to twitch.tv/DannyPrikaz. That's how you find me.
Great. Everyone follow Danny. I know Danny streams a lot on Twitch, so check those out if you want more Danny content. And once again, Danny, thank you, and we will see you guys for the last two episodes of the season. Have a good one.
Yay, thanks. Bye.